Good morning and welcome to you all. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have four worship services, and tea and coffee will be served between our morning services and after the evening reflective service. And in Messy Church service this afternoon, we will be cooking and baking, so lots of opportunity for biscuits. Pastoral news. Sue Watts has shingles, so please pray for her and John, and also for Maggie Arnold, who continues to need our prayers during her recovery from Bell's palsy. This Wednesday, Tots Praise will be celebrating its third birthday, so congratulations to all the people who have worked with it and made it happen. And I presume there is an open invitation for that session, which is on Wednesday morning between 10 and 12. And in the afternoon, the Bible study group will start a new season studying some of the Old Testament. This Saturday between 10 and 2 is the Hymn Fest, which looks to be very enjoyable. Do not worry if you haven't signed up yet, as you can still come to the event. And here I'd like to pause and give thanks to God and to all of you who have increased your regular giving as a result of the fundraising initiative. There are still some empty shoeboxes ready and waiting to be filled for the Link to Hope appeal. We have about a month left, don't we, in which to do it and return them. And finally, Tony would like to say something. Where is he? Oh, he's there.
Good morning. I'm sure all of you have been busy this week reading your church news. And you will be aware that the South Oxy Community Choir, South Oxy is in North London, somewhere up beyond Ruislip. This is a choir that was put together by Gareth Malone for a television broadcast series called The Choir. And it shows how he brought this group of people together and got them to sing. Well, Gareth stayed with that choir for a while, and then he handed it over to our son-in-law, Simon Wookie. And the choir wants to celebrate its 10th birthday, and it would like to celebrate it here in this building. And it's going to do so on Saturday, the 13th of October, and that is the day when everybody's going to be down here decorating the church for harvest, and it's going to be quite exciting how we fit harvest decorations in with a choir, visiting choir. The style of music is very relaxed. If you know the piece The Rhythm of Life, that's the sort of thing that they sing. The signature tune to Skyfall, the Bond film, that's in their repertoire as well. And also Amadeus Mozart crept in too. So it's quite a wide range of music, mostly that Simon has arranged for the choir. But I hope that a number of people will come and see me afterwards, because I have some tickets, and I hope a number of people will see my wife and offer to help with interval refreshments during that concert, which is on the 13th of October, starting at 7 o'clock. I hope to see you there.
We join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. How clearly the sky reveals the glory of God. How plainly it shows all that God has done. Each day announces it to the following day. Each night repeats it to the next. The law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. We join to sing, "Now thank we all our God." As we are. So we say, the law of the Lord is perfect. It gives new strength. The commands of the Lord are trustworthy, giving wisdom to those who lack it. The laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are blessed. The commands of the Lord are just and give understanding to the mind. Reverence for the Lord is good. It will continue forever. The judgments of the Lord are just. They are always fair. They are more desirable than the finest gold. They are sweeter than the purest honey. They give knowledge to me, your servant. I am rewarded for obeying them. None of us can see our own errors. Deliver me, Lord, from hidden faults. Keep me safe also from willful sins. Don't let them rule over me. Then I shall be perfect and free from the evil of sin. May my words and my thoughts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my redeemer. Have a seat. So we join to pray. Let us pray. gathers in. For we come in response to your love for us. We come because we know we don't know everything and we want to know more. We come because we know something and we want to know what it means. And we come to be with you and to have renewed in us a sense of your presence that is with us every day. But the minute we stop and reflect on your goodness, your rightness, we are aware that there are things in our lives that we know that are wrong. There are things that we see and we want to be rid of them. They cause us to limp and they cause us to stumble instead of stepping out, rolling out boldly with you. Remove these sin stains from us. Forgive us and release us from their power and help us to spot them. And the Lord Jesus says, hear the good news that your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good morning. Oh, you're going over there today. Okay. I have to do another row. That's okay. Right. Who likes surprises? I love how the children go, yes! And the adults are like, Oh, come on, hands up. Who likes surprises? Depends what it is. Yeah. You know, that bill, the council tax bill that gets hoiked up, that's not a nice surprise. A surprise birthday party. That might be a nice surprise, yeah. Does anyone have any surprising gifts or talents, abilities, that perhaps we don't know about, that we haven't admitted? Does anyone speak a foreign language? And we don't realise. Anyone got Finley? You've been out to come.
Hablo español un poco.
How many languages? A few. Oh, okay, multilingual. Anyone else? Bethany said, Bethany, so I'm going to have to stop laughing. She can kick herself on the bottom. Do you want to demonstrate this? Come to the front. Don't do it too hard. you for that, I think. Is it this? I should have bought my tap shoes. I should have done a little tap dance for you. Now, someone once said in a film... Sorry, Dahi, do you want to go on then? Dahi can twist her arm 360 degrees. Is that safe? don't do it now in case it's not safe. I don't want the paperwork. Someone once said in a film called Forrest Gump, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And as luck would have it, I have a box of chocolates. But people are not going to know what they're going to get because someone has covered up the menu inside. Now, to me, I don't care whether there's a menu or not because I just take whatever and enjoy it. But you don't know what you're going to get. It's a complete surprise, with the exception, I would say, of the strawberry one, which does actually look like a strawberry. But apart from that, it's a bit of a surprise. Do you think I should share these? Even though people won't know what they're getting, it's a surprise. You still think I should share them? Okay, I will share them. And if you have a nut allergy, you have to say no, I think, maybe, because I don't want any... No, okay. So you think this surprising box of chocolates I should share? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, I'll share them. See what you get. There's a bit of a clue in the orange one as well. No. We'll keep sharing around. I'm not sure there's one for everyone, so we'll just see what you get. There we are. There might be some for you as well. But before I give you your chocolate, I need to say one last thing. God is sometimes a God of surprises. He asks us to do things that we might not expect. He brings people into our lives that surprise us. He uses people that we might find surprising to do his good work. He asks us to do surprising things. We're constantly learning about God, and he's constantly surprising us. And that's what we're going to learn about today, the God of surprises, when we go next door after we've sung our song. And I'm hoping you can join in with the actions. But I'm going to give you a chocolate first, okay? Bribery. And in a minute, children can tell me what the filling was in their chocolate. Quick. Okay, right. And we are going to stand and sing, Our God is a Great Big God. Okay, so can we stand and we'll join in with the actions. And there's still plenty of chocolates left for afterwards.
Thank you.
Lovely. There's a stark contrast in this reading between there's a parallel story in Exodus. In the Exodus reading, the Israelites moan and grumble and the quail and the manna comes. Here, they moan and they grumble and God gets angry. Jean Thompson will read this passage to us.
Various verses from Numbers chapter 11. Moses chooses 70 leaders. There were some foreigners traveling with the Israelites. They had a strong craving for meat, and even the Israelites themselves began to complain. If only we could have some meat. In Egypt, we used to eat all the fish we wanted, and it cost us nothing. Remember the cucumbers, the water lemons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic we had. But now our strength is gone. There is nothing at all to eat, nothing but this manna, day after day. Moses heard all the people complaining as they stood about in groups at the entrances of their tents. He was distressed because the Lord was angry with them. And he said to the Lord, "Why have you treated me so badly? Why are you displeased with me? Why have you given me the responsibility for all these people? I didn't create them or bring them to birth. Why should you ask me to act like a nurse and carry them in my arms like babies, all the way to the land you promised to their ancestors? Where could I get enough meat for all these people? They keep whining and asking for meat. I can't be responsible for all these people by myself. It's too much for me. If you're going to treat me like this, take pity on me and kill me, so that I won't have to endure your cruelty any longer." The Lord said to Moses, "Assemble 70 respected men who are recognized as leaders of the people. Bring them to me at the tent of my presence and tell them to stand there beside you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He assembled 70 of the leaders and placed them round the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. He took some of the spirit he had given to Moses and gave it to the 70 leaders. When the spirit came on them, they began to shout like prophets, but not for long. Two of the 70 leaders, Eldad and Medad, had stayed in the camp and had not gone out to the tent. There in the camp, the Spirit came on them, and they too began to shout like prophets. A young man ran out to tell Moses what Eldad and Medad were doing. Then Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' helper since he was a young man, spoke up and said to Moses, "Stop them, sir." Moses answered, "Are you concerned about my interests? I wish that the Lord would give his spirit to all his people and make all of them shout like prophets." Then Moses and the 70 leaders of Israel went back to camp. Amen.
And jealousy also rears its head in the gospel reading. But the main theme that underlies the whole thing is the impossibility of remaining neutral after encountering Jesus. Katie Frost will read this passage to us.
This passage is from St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, starting at verse 38. Whoever is not against us is for us. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man who was driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he doesn't belong to our group." "Do not try to stop him," Jesus told them, "because no one who performs a miracle in my name will be able soon afterwards to say evil things about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I assure you that anyone who gives you a drink of water because you belong to me will certainly receive this reward. If anyone should cause one of these little ones to lose his faith in me, it would be better for that person to have a large millstone tied round his neck and be thrown into the sea. So if your hand makes you lose your faith, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life without a hand than to keep both hands and go off to hell, to the fire that never goes out. And if your foot makes you lose your faith, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life without a foot than to keep both feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye makes you lose your faith, take it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to keep both eyes and be thrown into hell. There, the worms that eat them never die, and the fire that burns them is never put out. Everyone will be purified by fire as a sacrifice is purified by salt. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have the salt of friendship among yourselves and live in peace with one another."
So let us pray. Holy God, hidden and known, may we hear your word. Amen. So, Jesus has a little child in the middle of them. We're not told when the child leaves. And Jesus challenges the disciples. What about you stops you living for me? And do you get in the way for others? And the challenge is for the disciples, and it is a challenge that resonates for us. So in Mark's Gospel, there is a collection of sayings, and Jesus takes the child, brings the child to the front, and calls the disciples to see that the welcome that is offered to the child and to children is the same as a welcome that is offered to him. And the passage goes on to say that if you would cause any of the little ones to stumble, you are in big trouble. Inattention to the littlest imperils life into eternity. It is easy, it is the way of society to be attracted by the powerful and not to hear the teaching of Jesus about being alongside the weakest, the smallest, those who are on the margins. And that is the teaching of Christianity. And if we are to be a church where the child is an inspirational model, then we clearly are to be a group of people who look at the world in a different way from the way that the rest of society looks at the world. And if you are a person who is desiring to be shaped and hanging around with the powerful, then I have to say to you that the person that you are following is not Jesus, but Herod. And then Jesus goes on with this metaphor about ripping off body parts. Come on, come on, come on. Clearly it's a metaphor. What's he talking about? Well, I would say he's talking about the fact we need to be bold, we need to be brave, we need to be intentional about being the followers of Jesus and to ask ourselves, what is it in our lives that causes us to stumble, that causes us to sin? What is it that we do that is taking us in the wrong direction? What is it that we do that we easily put in place of following Jesus? How are you to know? How do you know? Well, I would say one of the ways you know is that you listen to what people that love you, people that care about you, people that are brave enough to speak. What are they saying? Because there's nothing wrong with an eye and a foot. We're not saying, and the Lord Jesus said, take a knife and cut out a cancerous growth. It's not that. These are wholesome bits of wholesome things, but they have to be ripped out and chucked away. So so the first thing would be to say, all right, well, yeah, clearly I need to get rid of any drugs issues or alcohol or my dodgy websites, all got to stop. Yeah. That goes without saying. But those are negative things. These are wholesome things. The eye, nothing wrong with the eye, but it's got to go because it's getting in the way of following Jesus. What are our equivalents? What are they? Work, whether you get paid for it or whether you don't. You can easily get into the place where your work is more important to you than following Jesus is. Whether you get paid for it or not. The role that you have, whether it's in society in general or in your home, in your family, and the status that you get from that, it can be stuff. It can be shopping. That acquiring of stuff can get in the way of following Jesus. How you view your house, the place where you live, your physical appearance can become your number one priority. Your insistence on power, that you must have the power as opposed to him having the power. An overwhelming desire for safety, for control, for keeping it all small and safe, that can easily get in the way of following Jesus. Your hobbies, whatever they are, they can get in the way and become the number one priority in your life. So the question is, what is it for you, for me, that can become the thing that actually for anybody else, it's fine. And for us, it could be fine, but actually, it's not fine anymore. What is it? And how are you going to rip it out? I'll tell you another one. Family. I worship my grandchildren. Ooh, yowza. What is it? How are you going to know what it is? And how are you going to sort yourself out with it? Because it could well be, it's not about stopping it, it's about stopping the way you view it. So John, disciple John, accuses someone who has been conducting exorcisms and tells Jesus that he wants Jesus to stop them doing this. We told him to stop. And Jesus says, don't. Is it possible that God's work is being done by those who do not wear the label of being a follower of Jesus? Maybe use the name. But it is not that God is only at work at people that we can recognize as being on our team. God is at work in all sorts of people that we would dismiss as being evil or being stupid or being ignorant, people that we wouldn't give the time of day to, and yet somehow God is at work in them. And conversely, much more scary in a company like this. Conversely, is it possible that God's people sometimes are actually doing harm to the gospel of Jesus Christ in the way that they live life? If we believe it, that God is at work in unlikely people, then we need to have the courage to raise our eyes and get ourselves out of our own social bunkers and to have our eyes and ears open to know that the Spirit of God is not just to be contained in our small enclosure of us and our pals and people who think like we do. But God can be at work, even in those that we couldn't even think of. Surely it's arrogance to assume that we know how God will work and who God will work through. And there is a tough lesson for those who are used to thinking in order and structure to realize that, for example, in the life of a church, the person that might liberate would be someone who was outside the edges of society. That surprising thing about God is that God is at work in our world, not just with us. So is it possible that God is at work in those whose theology we don't agree with? And there are liberal Christians who would listen to any sort of nonsense, any sort of chakra opening, just pap. They would listen. Oh yeah, oh, interesting. But if an evangelical Christian said it, they would whack on their la la la, I'm not listening device. And also, the other bit is, there is a challenge for those of us who are, you know, Holy Joe, those of us whose lives are centered around church, to realize that it's God so loved the world. The job of the church is to be empowering people to serve in the world. It's not about the church, and it's not even about one section of it. It's about all of it. It's about God, who can speak through a whole range of people, not just some. So this thing, these two stories, both have an element of jealousy. Jealousy on Moses' behalf, jealousy on Jesus' behalf. Interesting, isn't it? Think of jealousy in terms of people of faith. To be jealous, as opposed to celebrating. But I do think it's a contemporary reality that people get jealous about some church that they think is doing better than, whatever that means, doing better, who knows what that bit of language means. But some church that's doing better than their bit of the church is doing, as opposed to realizing that we're all actually on the same team. Hurrah! God bless you. On you go. Let's work together. How can we do it? But it's more than that. Jesus raises the issue for the disciples, which means Jesus raises it for us about being stumbling blocks. So the question for us is, in the whole of our lives, not just the churchy bits or the godly bits or the, oh, Jesus, you live in this little outhouse, oh, but we are all here. In the whole of our lives, are we actually guides or stumbling blocks? Are we guides for others, or are we stumbling blocks for them? In the way that you and I live our lives, are we guides or are we stumbling blocks? Does the life that we live, the issues that we speak of, the things that we give energy to, does it speak of a life that is joyous and full and richer? Or does it speak of things that are really rather narrow and dull and superficial and actually, let's be brutally frank, a bit depressing? Does our life, in all its wee ordinariness, speak of life in all its fullness, or of a badly behaved bunker that nobody with any sense would want to be a part of? What matters is that God's work is done. Eyes on the big challenge. And then joy flows. And Jesus tells John he doesn't care who exorcises the person. He cares that the person is set free from demons. And Joshua is concerned that Eldad and Medad are taking on a prophetic role that belongs to Moses. And Moses has a spirit of generosity that says he wishes that the Lord's spirit was in all, and they would all shout like prophets. And the aim of our lives is that we would embody love, and that when people hear of us, listen to us, look at us, they hear something of Jesus, and that raises with them the possibility that there might be room for them. Let us pray. Help us, Jesus. Follow you. For we have no help without you. Amen. We join to sing In Christ Alone. fullness of God in helpless babe is given. We join to pray. Let us pray. Creator God, the world is full of beauty, but it's also full of pain. It's full of healing. It's also full of suffering. So we hold up before you the people of Indonesia. Those who mourn people that have died in the tsunami. For the government and for those involved in distribution in the face of emergency. And that leads us to pray for those who are no longer at the center of the world's media. So we pray for peace in Syria, for peace with justice in Israel-Palestine. For honest government in Zimbabwe. Lord, we pray. And closer to home, we hold up the political situation in this country, issues of Brexit, austerity, for wisdom for the politicians. Pray for those whose businesses are failing. Pray for those who tomorrow morning will have to go in and tell their workers that it's all over. Pray for those who know that they are going to be found out this week. We hold up before you, Lord, those that we love who are suffering. For those overwhelmed by anxiety about their immigration status. For those overwhelmed by concern about their country of birth. For those where somebody is ill. And for ourselves, Lord Jesus. We place all our concerns in your hands. Glad that you know it. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you provide for us, and all that you do for us, and all that you are for us. Receive these gifts, a sign of our recognition and our assumption that you will be our God day by day. Amen. We join to sing our final hymn, Father, hear the prayer we offer.
Thank you.
So what have you been doing and what you got? What is it? Is there a microphone there? What have you got? A chain. What sort of chain? A chain. A chain. That's what I just said. I said it about five times. Jinx Crivens, can you not understand my lovely accent?
Can you hear us? Yes.
Yes, we can.
Yes, yes.
So what's it a chain of?
What is it chain of?
And the chain of the people who helped us.
People who help us? That's good. Big chain. Lot of people that help you.
A few of the names that are near you.
God.
Lot of God.
Teacher. Jesus. Mummy. Daddy.
Okay, right. Someone near you. Sophia. How's it? Listen.
Teddy.
Teddy. Blind child.
Dad. Jesus. And Mum.
Okay, and are he? Let me pass, please. Ooh. You've got down your end.
Julia, Sue, Kino, Yayan, Glenn, me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's not just.
My dad.
Dad. And I think granddad's in there somewhere.
No,
as well.
It's not. It's just rubbish. Yeah.
So. Yeah, so these are all the people that help us, and we've added our names on there as a promise to God that we will find someone to help this week.
Amen.
So we've added our own
names. So what we should do now is we should all get a bit of paper and all write our names on,
yep,
and all add them to the chain, shouldn't
we? We'll do that in coffee time.
Yeah, we should do that. We're not going to, but we should do that. Yes, 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 yes. So as we stand as we are, let us pray. Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we may recognize the things in our lives that distract us from living the life that you have called us to live. Give us the courage to spot those things, to address those things, and to ask for help when we need it. So, Lord Jesus, every day, draw us closer and closer to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.